But believe it or not, there's other sober recoveries in the area. And one of the things that we want to do is make sure that you may be hitting some other things, because believe it or not, we may need more than one meeting a week. I know it's a shocker. In AA, NA, they say 90 and 90. And so we've got other meetings throughout our area. And we have Heidi here with us from Oakdale. You guys welcome her as she comes up to share her testimony with us this evening. Welcome, Heidi.
Hi. There's a lot of people compared to Oakdale. I am one of the leaders at River Oak Grace, Oakdale. If you need a meeting on Wednesday nights, come see us tomorrow night. We would love to have you. I used to go to church here a long time ago. On Sunday mornings, I used to sit right over there, about the sixth row. And on Saturday nights, I used to sit right over there on that side. So it kind of feels odd being here. Your campus hasn't changed that much in 20 years. So anyway, my name is Heidi, and I have a personal, I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. My recovery journey began in 2009 as I began attending Celebrate Recovery to work through my issues from my divorce. As I worked through the 12 steps, I began to see other areas of my life that God was pointing out that I needed to work on: fear, anxiety, insecurity, and codependency. Will you pray with me? Father God, thank you for this process of Celebrate Recovery. Thank you for knowing that we would need it even before we did, Lord. Thank you for the leaders that are here tonight, the people dedicated to making sure these doors are open every week so that the folks who just need to be here can be here. And Father, I just ask that you speak through me tonight and share my story. I know that there are people here tonight that struggle with the same things that I did, and I'm so blessed that you have rescued me from that. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So for a long time, I wondered why anyone would benefit from hearing my story. Through completing the 12 steps and sharing my experiences with others, I realized that, unfortunately, my story is all too common. I recognize now that God uses all of my hurt, insecurity, to comfort and encourage others who are stuck in that same place that I was. I share my story because through Celebrate Recovery, I finally recognize where my codependency began and why I react to life circumstances the way that I do. I was born right here in Modesto. Both my parents controlled their own childhood homes and therefore were strong-willed and inflexible in their marriage. This inflexibility resulted in a divorce by the time I was four. When my mother remarried, she and her new husband moved us from California to Wisconsin to begin a new life. I was not quite six. Because of the distance and lack of effort on his part, I didn't have a real relationship with my father until I was an adult. My mother's new husband was an alcoholic. His drinking and anger created a very unstable atmosphere in our home. Their arguments resulted in more than one incident of shattered mirrors, slamming doors, and in one instance, pushing my mother down the stairs. It took a few years of this before my mother gained the courage to have him removed from our home and peace would be returned. From the outside looking in, my family looked just like everyone else's. And my mother made great sacrifices as a single parent with two girls. She made sure that we attended church together as a family each week. She helped foster our relationship with Christ and found money somehow to send us to Christian school and Bible college. By the age of 10, I had experienced many life lessons. Some of these lessons were very positive and are the foundation of my life. I had begun deep and true childhood friendships that are still strong today. My salvation was secure. And I learned loyalty, responsibility, and commitment. Some of those life lessons had a negative impact on my life. I developed a poor concept of relationships, especially of marriage. I had poor self-image and deep insecurities. Even as a child, I had learned that people expect you to say that everything's okay, even when it's not. I am thankful for much of that early influence of the church. I participated in youth activities, church camp, Sunday school, children's church. By the age of 12, I was actively working on the puppet team and teaching missions time during children's church. During these years, I developed a heart for missions, a love of books, and of storytelling. This never ceases to amaze me, God's plan, because today I am a children's librarian. The church influenced me in other ways as well. I was taught from a young age that divorce is not acceptable. Once you marry, it's forever. I still believe that today. Marriage is a sacred commitment. However, as a child, I watched my mother bear reproach countless times because she was divorced and a single mother. My mother was restricted from participation in many of the church activities because she was divorced. And my sister and I were the object of a presumed need for fatherly attention and discipline. So in my child mind, my understanding of divorce was that it was to be avoided at all costs. I was raised to be a Christian young lady. This means that I dressed like a young lady, I watched my language, I lent a hand whenever there was a need. I was trained to look for opportunities to help serve, to be a peacemaker, to teach Sunday school, and it was my greatest desire to grow up to be a good wife and mother. These are all excellent character qualities to have. But when you add those positive trainings to the misunderstanding of healthy relationships and at no boundaries, it becomes codependency. I never shared the shame and feelings of hurt and betrayal that I felt. I just buried them deep inside myself, convinced that if anyone ever knew, no one would love or accept me. I graduated high school in December of my senior year, and just days later, I started Bible college at 17. College was an escape for me, and being that I drove to and from an otherwise closed campus, I became very popular for rides and bringing things in from town and even chaperoning dates for my friends. But by the time I was 20, these little sins added up, and it seemed that my life was out of control. I had quit college, I had moved out of my mother's home and found myself in some very compromising situations and relationships. I felt trapped and unable to see a way out of my upside-down life. So through the wisdom of a friend and her parents, I packed my things up, quit my job, and moved back to California to start over. I moved to my grandmother's home in Empire. She had a little in-laws' quarters behind the house, and it made a wonderful little studio. My grandmother was getting older, and she was having a harder time driving and doing many of the activities that she loved, and I was there to help her. I'm thankful to God for providing me the time with her the last few years of her life. Right away, when I moved here, I found a church family, one that provided me the safety and security I desperately needed. I found a job that I enjoyed and began serving at church and attending the singles group. I still carried all those insecurities and hurt, but I was healing, or so I thought. I can tell you that the decisions I made in the early 90s still affect my life today. Some are amazing miracles, and some left terrible hurt. During the summer, I turned 26. My father introduced me to the son of one of his friends. We dated, and he began to come to church. There were signs that he was not being respectful or always kind to me. But in my skewed view of how relationships should be, I did not see those signs. Shortly after our engagement, my grandmother became gravely ill and was hospitalized. I spent as much time there as I could. I was an emotional wreck. The evening I got the call that she had passed away was the first time that my fiance hit me. I was shocked and in mourning. I could not believe what was happening. Immediately, he was remorseful and promised never to hit me again. And I coped the only way I knew how. Instead of telling someone and breaking off my engagement, I moved through the funeral and weeks afterward in a fog. This was a clear sign from God that I needed to get help. But all I did was hide and stay put. We married a few months later. I was working a great job. I was keeping house. I was on the way to that perfect Christian life. Only it wasn't perfect at all, because I had committed my life forever to a man who, one minute in public, was the friendly, larger-than-life guy, and behind closed doors became verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive. In those early years, we went to counseling. We attended small group Bible study. We went to church together and took all the steps they say to work on our marriage. The problem was that I was so caught in trying to portray that Christian family that I didn't do the one thing that could have helped. I didn't tell anyone. I was afraid to admit that we were in serious trouble. I put a smile on my face and pretended that everything was good. Inside our home, there was no pretending. Our home was loud with violent arguments. Resentment and pain welled up inside of me, and I would spend the next 17 years feeling unsafe in my own home. In 1994, our son was born. He was a much anticipated gift from God. I could not imagine that God would trust me to raise this little boy. But that night, just hours after our son was born, my husband would have the first of many affairs. My marriage would remain a place of hurt and betrayal. When our son turned 3, our marriage was deteriorating at an unstoppable pace. That spring, we had a violent argument, and my husband pushed me through a plate glass window. I would spend many years in pain and lost much of the range and motion in my shoulder for several years. To this day, the simple act of brushing my hair is often still a painful reminder of that argument. However, the incident gave me enough courage to separate from my husband. Now, at that point, I still believed that my marriage could be saved. Our separation was temporary. I kept it private from everyone, of course. I continued to work and to go to night school, and after a few months, my husband and I reconciled. I was more closed off than ever. He had not changed his behavior, and I had not changed mine. Our daughter was born in 1998, a pretty little girl to add to our family. She was a lifeline for me and still is the light of my life. The first few weeks, I was hesitant to let anyone near her except her brother. Every fear rose inside me, and I felt so alone in a storm needing to protect these precious children. So I focused on my children, shutting my husband out in order to feel safe and protect all of us. Late one evening, after a long, drawn-out argument over yet another one of my husband's affairs, he took a full bottle of pills trying to complete suicide. I now had 2 young children, my husband was ill, and I was alone with no support. I was alone because no one knew our struggles or the truth inside our home, and fear now controlled my every decision. I called his parents, and I told them what had happened. In more than 20 years now, to my knowledge, they have never mentioned that night. I fully disclosed all that had occurred, the disease in our marriage, and they dismissed it. I was shocked by their reaction. Looking back now, I can understand why my husband did behave in some of the ways that he did. He was dealing with his own pain, his own denial and anger, alcoholism, and mental illness. His parents' solution was to begin to give me gifts. Gifts of cars and boats and jewelry. I literally had rings on every finger and every toe. And I understood what they were. They were bribes. Bribes to encourage me to stay in my marriage and help manage their son. Bribes that in my hurt and anger I would accept for years. But everything has a price. And for me, the price of accepting these bribes year after year would be a lifelong struggle from the emotional damage and deep physical scars. The same defense I used as a child, staying away and hiding, only increased his desire to find me, argue, and fight. The fear in me boiled and turned into an uncontrollable anger. I defiantly confronted his behaviors. I was unforgiving, angry. I was jumpy and on edge, and living in perpetual fear. The final straw broke when his job changed and he was home during the week. He began nightly stalking me, sneaking up behind me and threatening me. And one night, I woke up to find my then 14-year-old son sleeping on the floor at the foot of the couch, protecting me from his father. I knew it was time to leave, and we moved out 2 days later. During this time, I met with my pastor. I confessed that my friends had been acting differently and that this was mainly due to the fact that I had been hiding for so many years, carrying the baggage of my past and trying to pretend that my life was good and perfect. My divorce took everyone by surprise. No one had a clue what had been happening in our home, and that was my fault. I did not know any other way to cope with the resentment, hurt, and anger. So my pastor recommended, and he made me agree, to attend Celebrate Recovery. I did not want to go to Celebrate Recovery. But I was taught, remember, that when your pastor tells you to do something, you do it. I knew nothing of recovery, but I knew that if I walked into that meeting, I would forever be unable to hide and pretend anymore. I would be vulnerable, and my kids would be vulnerable. James 4:10, we say it every week. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. August 27th, 2009 is the night I began to walk this walk called recovery. For 20 minutes, I circled the parking lot. 20 minutes of my own home church. I finally made that long walk to the door. But when I moved into the room, immediately I was embraced and welcomed. There was no judgment, no accusation, no need for hiding or perfection, just people with hurts or habits, just like me. I attended Open Share Group, talking week after week, starting to share what was truly happening in my life. I found accountability partners and a sponsor. My sponsor encouraged me to work on me. We started step study and looked at what the Bible had to say about the reality of my divorce, my attitude towards my ex-husband, my parenting. Working step four, inventory, I am now able to identify patterns in my relationship choices with men and my pattern of being silent in my hurt. I put my daughter in Celebration Station. She needed help with anger and resentment. And there was no group for my son, so I trusted the CR men's leaders to protect and guide him as he attended the men's Open Share group at age 15. Not only did I need recovery, but I knew my children needed it as well. Admitting I needed God's help, the support of others, and that I was only able to control how I respond to situations was paramount in my recovery process. Please understand a process it is. I will always struggle with fear and trust. I take those fears into every relationship I form. But as it is through my relationship with Jesus Christ and through the teaching of Celebrate Recovery that I have the tools to pray through it, to set boundaries, to feel safe, and to find freedom and trust. Through the 12 steps, I have accepted responsibility for my role in these unhealthy relationships. I have completed my fourth 12-step study, The Journey Begins, and I am currently leading Step Study 2, The Journey Continues. I wish I could tell you that completing a step study once will be all that you have to do to conquer your problems. But it's a lifelong process to stay healthy. And if you've been in CR for a while and have completed the first four step study books, I strongly encourage you to complete The Journey Continues. This second set of step books will take you into a deeper walk with God, rekindle your goals to remain healthy and free from your habits and hurts, and reinforce the healthy work that you've already completed. Through steps 4, 5, and 6, I used the tools to reach deep inside and find the root of why I act the way I do. And now I have the tools to set boundaries, accept and change my behavior, and speak out truthfully when things shatter or create fear in me. God laid out the 12 steps beautifully in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5:1-12. Our Savior knew that we as human beings would need support from others, accountability, and a plan to heal from the experiences of life. In the Bible, God gave us tools for healing, setting boundaries, depression, fear, anxiety, and addictions. I was able to make amends with my ex-husband for my role in our relationship and to forgive him for his. And I have forgiven myself for those failures as well, and now allow God to move freely within my life, healing, correcting, and loving the woman that I am today. I do want to speak openly to you all tonight about domestic violence. If in your home you use threats, sarcasm, infidelity, or any other kind of psychological control, please understand that this is emotional abuse. I want you to go home tonight with the understanding that you must stop. You are damaging the hearts of those who love you. And if someone is striking you, pushing you, or abusing you in any way, please tell someone tonight. This is not God's plan for you. 1 John 3:1 says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God." And that is what we are. There are CR leaders here tonight that are ready to listen, and you need to not hide any longer. You can only be free, feel safe, and begin to heal once you tell. God has blessed me in countless ways since this process began. I was convinced after divorce that I would never remarry. God had another plan for me. I am remarried. He's right there. Joe walks his own recovery, and while he does not understand my struggles with fear or accept where my need to feel quiet and safe comes from, he understands recovery, and we walk the Celebrate Recovery path together daily. Our children have been blessed as well. We have a blended family, a large blended family. The adult children move through life at a dizzying speed. They have their own lives and lessons to learn, but know that we are a safe place to land when they need guidance. Gratefully, five of those young adults have accepted Christ as Savior and Lord. We continue to pray for the other two, and we know that God is faithful to hear our prayers. My Shannon is now 18 and a beautiful young woman in college. She was part of the Landing and Tracy and Oakdale Celebrate Recoveries. The Landing is Celebrate Recovery for teens, and they use the same steps and principles and lessons at a teen interest level, allowing teens to work through their own hurts and habits among a healthy peer group. In fact, Shannon and I each received our 7-year CHIP last August. Thank you. My son Shane continued in the men's open share group for 2 more years and then became an adult leader of the Landing. He's now 22 years old and in the U.S. Navy. CR gave him a place to deal with his anger from the divorce, and with the support of Christian men, he had a safe place to share, heal, and become a man. If there's one thing that I would like you to take away from my story, it would be that recovery is so much more than the stigma of drugs, alcohol, and addiction. Recovery is about real people being totally open to all that God desires to give us: forgiveness, freedom, and a forever family. Celebrate Recovery is about the body of Christ stepping up to help, serve, correct, and encourage one another. I'd like to share my life verse with you. It's one of my favorite scriptures, and as it's a prominent verse in Celebrate Recovery curriculum. It's 1 Peter 2:9. "For you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light." Amen. For the newcomer, welcome to Celebrate Recovery. You made it through the door. The hard part's over. Welcome home. Thank you.
Hi, Heidi, thank you for sharing your story with us tonight. Let's hear it for Heidi one more time. Hey, let's stand together and close our time with a serenity prayer. If her story touched your heart tonight, I encourage you to find her this evening and tell her what part maybe touched her heart tonight, So, but let's close in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.